Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this month's World Changer Message. Every month I try to give you something that relates to whatever our topic for that month is, or whatever is going on in the world, or sometimes just whatever God is laying on my heart. You know, this month we've been talking about how to stop the pain. I know many of you have already read the book, How to Stop the Pain, but I'm sure you still have some deep questions about that and maybe some misunderstandings about judgment. But I want to talk to you about an interesting aspect of judgment. I touched on this a little bit in this month's World Changer Message, but the reason I bring this up and the reason I focus so much on living free from judgment is because there are few things that defy the Lordship of Jesus as much as judgment. There are few things that bring as much destruction into our life as our judgments. And there are very few things that we have total control over other than our judgments. And so this is a place where we have a tool to manage our own life in a way that we probably never, ever, ever imagined possible. You know, in Genesis 3:5, the whole problem with man started out with the idea that if I would get the knowledge of good and evil, then I would be like God. You know, this is Adam thinking, I'll really be like God because I'm not now. And then I'll know good and evil for myself. You have to realize that every time we seek to define good and evil independent of God's word, we are attempting to be the God of our own world. And I'm telling you, this is rampant right now in some of these people who think that they're moving in grace. I'm not against these people. I'm not angry. I'm angry at the fact that they subvert the faith of so many. I'm angry at the fact that so many people end up in sin. Their lives end up messed up. I'm not angry at these individuals because so many of these individuals are just deceived. They just don't know the Word of God well enough, and they jump off wanting to be teachers when really they should be students. They're good people that mean well, but they get themselves and a lot of people in trouble. You see, choosing good and evil independent of God's word means not only am I acting as God, but it also means I'm judging God's word. You know, this is a really incredible thing to think that we would find ourselves judging God's word, but we do. You know, the book of James, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, it says, "He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law." Now, how is that? I'll tell you why. Because the law is the standard whereby we should live. The only difference is in the new covenant, and really it was supposed to be this way in the old covenant. The law was never meant to bring fear. God never intended for fear to be the motivation behind the law. God always said, I want you to experience the good of the land so that you'll love me. I want you to experience the best that there is so that you'll love me. I want you to apply my word and see how it works so you'll love me and so that you'll trust me. And I want you to do this from your heart. That's always been God's perspective on the law. But you see, people who didn't get to know God, didn't fall in love with God, didn't trust God, they turned the law into something fearful. But that was never, ever, ever God's intention for the law to be a fearful thing. So the law is the standard. The law is how we would treat people if we really were walking in righteousness. The law is how we would treat people if, in fact, we were walking in love. And like I said in our World Changer this month, the law tells us how we should treat people, and 1 Corinthians 13 shows us the motives that should drive us in the way we treat people. And Jesus said more than anything else, all of that has to be undergirded by love. So when I look at my brother and I judge my brother, I am really judging the law. And he goes on to say, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? I'm going to tell you something. We treat judgment, particularly among full gospel charismatic people, we treat judgment as if it's the discerning of the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit would tell us why people are doing what they're doing. I got news for you. It's never the Holy Spirit telling you why somebody's doing what they're doing. You may have some perception. You may have the insight. The Holy Spirit shows you what you should do in a situation, and what you should do has nothing to do with why the other person does what they do. It has to do with you following God. You see, when we have to justify our actions based on what we believe about other people, it is impossible to avoid judgment. So the first place that we want to start out in this whole issue of judgment is, first of all, I absolutely repent, surrender, give up any idea that I have the right to pass judgment on anyone. Judgment belongs to God. God and God alone has the right to determine good and evil. Now, I can look at the Word and I can look at somebody's behavior and I can say, based on the Word of God, this behavior is evil, but I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know why you're doing it. So I don't want to be God of my own world. You know, that's why I got saved. I needed to get saved because I was running my life and I was not doing a good job of it. Now, I'm not going to repeat all the things that I talk about in my book, How to Stop the Pain, and all the things we talk about in the series where I talk about how that whenever I pass this judgment, see, when I'm coming up with why you're doing what you're doing, I said this in the World Change Letter, basically, I'm saying you're doing it for a good reason or a bad reason. No matter what other complicated details may come into it, I'm saying you're being nice to me because you want something. I'm saying you gave me that compliment because you're trying to manipulate me. You see, so I'm saying it's good or bad, but I may be making it a little more complicated than that. But at the end of the day, all judgment gets down to this thing of determining good and evil for myself, independent of God's Word, and really trying to determine good and evil in somebody else's life. We absolutely can't do that. So I don't want to judge anybody else. I want the Word of God to be everybody's own standard, and everybody's going to stand before God for themselves. And I don't know what's in your heart. I'm going to let you go. It's interesting. You know, we have this concept of what a hypocrite is, and, you know, we have these religious ideas, but it's interesting, in Matthew 7, a hypocrite is not somebody who is struggling with sin. A hypocrite's not somebody who goes to church and has problems in their life. A hypocrite is somebody who, instead of trying to deal with their own issues, is trying to fix somebody else. And so he says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and don't consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank that's in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye. Then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. And see, our tendency is that we want to fix everybody else, but we really, really don't want to solve any of our own issues. So we want to totally surrender any idea that it's right to judge other people. And see, usually when we try to fix other people, you know, we call it help them, we call it ministering to them, we're usually going to do it on the basis of what we think is wrong with them. And no matter what their behavior is, we really don't know what's wrong with them. We don't know why they do the things. We don't know if they were molested. We don't know if they were abused. We don't know, you know, we just don't know why people do what they do. We just know what they do. And we can ask them if they want help. And see, here's the great thing. When we're ministering the gospel to people, it's not about fixing what's wrong with you. It's about offering you the promise of what God has done for you in Jesus. It's not about going back and unscrambling the past. It's about choosing a new future based on the finished work of Jesus. I don't have to really understand what's wrong with you to help you have a new life. I just need to be able to present you with the truth. So we don't have to judge people to minister to them. And when our ministry is based on our judgments, then we're over in that place where we're playing God and we're verging on being a hypocrite. So I'm going to give up my idea that it's all right for me to judge, even if I think that judgment is going to help somebody else. Now, another thing that I want to do is I've got to free myself from judging God. And see, this is a tremendous thing. You know, in the Old Testament, the psalmist talked about the fact that they tempted God. Well, we know that that can't be tempted in the traditional sense of being tempted to do evil because God can't be tempted. That word tempted there in the book of Psalms has to do with tested God. They tested God. They said, can God provide a table for us in the wilderness? Can God, you know, he gave us water, but can he really give us meat? Now, what they were doing is they were looking at God and they were passing a judgment on God and saying, do we judge God able to fulfill his promise to deliver us from Egypt, to deliver us from the hand of Pharaoh, to take us through the wilderness and take us into the promised land? And so they passed a judgment, or they put him on trial, and they found him guilty in their own minds of not being able to fulfill his promise. And that's what unbelief does. Unbelief always finds God guilty of not being able to live up to His word. So I'm going to tell you something. We have got to give up any idea that it's all right to judge God. You know, a whole other concept about judging God gets into when we start wanting to know why things happen. Why did this happen? Why did God do this? Why did God let this happen? Just assuming that God is involved with any of the things that are happening. You know, this whole doctrine of sovereignty, which is not, it's not biblical, it's not out of the New Testament, and I'm talking about sovereignty the way it's being taught today. God is sovereign, but His sovereignty says that He has the right to make the decision, but His sovereignty doesn't say He can change His mind. Matter of fact, He says very specifically that I change not. He says, I'm not a man that I should have to repent. God does not change His mind once He sets something in. So this idea of sovereignty, okay, yeah, Jesus has died and taken your punishment, but yeah, He's mad at you. He's going to kill somebody because of you. You see, that's judging God. We're saying the reason this happened was something that God did. So we're looking at the evil in the world and the good in the world. We're trying to say, this is God, this is not God, this is the devil. Let me tell you something. We know that every good and perfect gift is of God. We know that because the Bible says it. But I can't look at any circumstances and pass a judgment on God and say that God is the cause of any circumstances happening. I just absolutely can't do that, because when I do that, I am judging God. And Proverbs 19 says, the foolishness of a man perverts his way, in his heart he blames God. But where I wanted us to get to in this, and what is so important about this, is we need to repent and free ourselves from all self-judgment. You know, when you free yourself from judging others, and you always reap what you sow, you will find that you are getting more and more free from the judgment of others, but you'll also find that you'll get free from self-judgment. See, I don't want to be controlled by your judgment, but I also don't want to be controlled by my judgment. I want to live by faith. I want to just take the Word of God and say, this is true. I may not understand. You know, the only reasons the Bible tells me that something's not going to work in my life is basically unbelief. Now, I know that's been all twisted. We beat ourselves up. We condemn ourselves with it. I'm comfortable with the fact that anything's not working in my life. I just don't believe it in my heart. I might believe it and waver. I might believe it to some degree. I might understand it with my mind. I might have had it working at some time in the past, but if it's not working right now, I am not at this moment in immovable trust about that issue as it relates to the finished work of Jesus. So there's nothing big to sort out. Now, yes, there may be some reason, and this is where counseling and all kinds of personal ministry comes in to help me get past the reason. Don't really have to have all that, but sometimes in our own minds, we get stuck and we won't let go of something. We won't get past something until we understand more about it. But the truth is, we can just free ourselves from self-judgment by simply owning and acknowledging that anytime I see or feel or act in a way that's less than who I really am in Jesus, this brings destruction in my life. It doesn't bring the judgment of God. It doesn't bring the wrath of God. It's not God doing anything to me. It doesn't make me rejected of God. This is me thinking, feeling, and acting less than I really am in Jesus. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, he says, it's a very small thing to me that I should be judged by you, by human court, and in fact, I don't even judge myself. You know, this is really interesting because, you know, he's tying together three things here. He said, it doesn't matter to me how you judge me. It doesn't matter to me how all the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin judges me, because what makes me free from your judgment is I'm free from my own judgment. I have stopped judging myself. Now, he goes on to say something that I find to be incredibly important. The next verse, and you can look it up, he says, now, that doesn't mean I'm right or wrong. That doesn't make me right about what I do. I'm just saying I'm not going to live in self-judgment. I'm going to tell you something. We have to give up self-judgment or we'll never get free from condemnation. So much of what we call the conviction of the Holy Spirit is actually just self-condemnation, because we judge ourselves, we pick ourselves apart. You know, we try to figure out our every motive. Why did I really, really do that? There's times that that's important. I understand that. I understand it's very important for me to identify the emotions and the feelings that are driving me. But I know more than that. When I do anything or think anything or feel anything or act in any way that's less than who Jesus is right now at the right hand of God, rather than try to sort it all out, I need to repent of it. I need to put off that old man. That's what repentance is, changing your mind. I'm going to put off that old man and any idea of living and functioning that way. And I'm going to renew my mind, and I'm going to put on the new man. And I'm going to renew my mind at who I am in Jesus, the promises of God. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to end up living in absolute victory as a result of it. And I'm not going to have to sort out every single detail. Now, again, Many times we have to identify a limiting belief or a limiting idea. I get that. I understand that. I teach that. But I'm telling you, the straightest road to solutions and overcoming problems is giving up any self-judgments and realizing that whatever's causing this, the end result is I have a limiting belief of some kind. And all I've got to do is put off the old man, renew my mind, put on the new man, and I will experience this righteousness of God that's mine freely. In the book of 1 Corinthians 11, and this is really where we're going with this whole thing, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul teaches about communion. And he explains that whenever we take communion, he says, so many times we take communion unworthily. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, you can still go to YouTube and look at my communion, or you can go to Vimeo and look at our communion service that we did online. I'm telling you, there is so much that could and should happen in a communion service. And he says that, see, to take communion unworthily does not mean, as religion has taught us, that there's something wrong in our lives. To take communion unworthily means to do it without discerning the blood and the body of Jesus. You see, the word communion itself means to share something in common. And when we look at what is it that I share in common with Jesus, what is the bond that holds us together? Well, the bond, because we know about the bond of love. Love is the reason behind everything. But the true bond that holds me, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, that bond us all together is the cross of Christ. Because we share in a death to the old man of sin. We share in a resurrection from that death, overcoming it, being raised up in righteousness. We share in an inheritance. And we share in a relationship with God. Fellowship is when I am praying, talking, thinking, worshiping, connecting with God around that reality. Not just around the fact that I feel good. I mean, it's good to worship God. I do, man. I tell you, today I got up and just said, God, I thank you that I feel good physically today. I know you don't love me anymore today. I know I'm not any more spiritual today, but boy, it sure makes it easy to worship you when I feel good physically. And you know, and I understand that. And I was thanking God for health. I was thanking God for energy. But at the end of it, my true fellowship comes down to acknowledging what I have with him and what I share with Jesus. So we have a shared inheritance. So to take communion without discerning the blood and body of Christ means I'm not discerning what happened with the blood and the body. I'm not entering into truth. So that word communion means fellowship. I am not taking communion because I'm chewing the bread and drinking the wine. Chewing that bread and drinking that wine is what I use to remind myself, oh yeah, this is what happened in his body, and we share this together. Drinking that wine is when I say, oh yeah, this is what happened because of his blood. This is what we share together through the death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, this failure to discern the blood in the body is why many are sick and why many sleep. In other words, that's why they die. Now he says this, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That word where it says judge ourselves is to judge ourselves to be approved. You see, if we're discerning the blood and the body of Jesus, we are judging ourselves for approval. And it says that if we would judge ourselves for approval, we would not be judged or condemned. We would not have condemnation in our heart, which in fact leads to sickness and disease. See, condemnation is the expectation of wrath, the expectation of judgment. If I would look at the blood of Jesus and judge myself approved, not looking at all of my failures or successes, but looking at what he did, looking at what I share with him, I would judge, determine, I would find myself a worthy, qualified, innocent in Him, and then I would not experience judgment or condemnation inwardly. That says something interesting. It says, but when we are judged, when we have condemnation, it says we are chastened of the Lord. Now that word chastened means child trained. It's the way you train a child who has messed up. Why? So that you won't be condemned, so that you won't experience this condemnation along with the world. So even when I fail to commune with God, in other words, to wrap my heart, my mind all around the finished work of Jesus, even when I fail to do that, the Holy Spirit in me is going to try to child train me, lead me gently, like the Lord. See, the word chasten doesn't mean to whip and to beat and discourage. That's a false religious translation. The word chasten means to child train, specifically to train the child that you favor. You see, at the end of the day, everywhere that I release judgment empowers me to release myself from judgment. Everywhere that I stop finding fault with others empowers me to stop finding fault with myself. Everywhere that I stop trying to fix others and just try to love others and bring others the truth empowers me to stop trying to fix myself and just nurture myself in the love of God. The more I do that, the more I'm able to wrap my life around what we share in common with Jesus, which is His death, burial, and resurrection, and what we share together in this inheritance. And then in that, I'm able to judge myself approved, and I live free from condemnation. And I'm telling you something, that's something God can work with. You can't stay healthy and well and prosperous and peaceful and have good relationships when you're filled with condemnation. Remember, you know, the Apostle John says, when your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence in the presence of God and you can't receive the answers to your prayers. Doesn't mean God's not trying to give them. It means you can't receive them. But John also said, God is greater than your heart. Just because your heart condemns you does not mean God is condemning you. But you see, I want to renew my mind and see that in Jesus, I am always approved. I'm always accepted in the Beloved. I have to judge that because I am in Him, because that is my communion, that is my fellowship, I have to judge that I am found accepted and worthy and approved. And that makes me free from condemnation. And in that kind of environment, I'm going to tell you something, you can get healed. You can find answers to solutions. You can get miracles in your life. You can have all of these things happen because you're not weighted down with the condemnation that comes from judgment. Now listen to me. Imagine life as if you're trying to swim across a river. And you've got a burlap sack laying across your back. And every time you pass a judgment, it's like dropping a brick into that burlap sack. You see, and eventually, if you drop enough bricks in that burlap sack, it's going to drown you because you can't swim and carry a sack full of bricks. Well, that's what happens and metaphorically every time you pass a judgment on anybody else, every time you judge God, judge a person, judge yourself, and it's this judgment that fills you so full of destruction that you can't see God, experience God, feel His love. You need to just repent. You need to give up the idea that there's any benefit to judgment, that you have any right to judgment, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you interrupt that pattern. And I'm going to tell you something. Every time you find yourself passing a judgment, I know why He's doing this, or judging yourself, just stop, interrupt that thought, and speak a blessing over yourself, a blessing over the evil person that's doing you wrong. It doesn't matter. Speak blessings. Don't speak curses and don't speak judgments. And if you do that as a way of life and continually say, God, you know, help me to walk in love. Help me to be a blessing and not a curse. The day will come when you will be free from your own judgments. You'll be free from the judgments of others. And you'll be free from the condemnation that comes because in your mind you think that God's judging you. Listen, I don't want to be God of my own world, and you don't want to be God of your own world. Jesus is the Lord of our own world, and we want to surrender every view and opinion to His. And His opinion is you're righteous, you're loved, you're accepted because you're in Him. But you've got to accept that in your own heart and experience it for yourself. God bless you. I hope you've read my book, How to Stop the Pain. If you haven't, none of this makes a lot of sense to you. Man, if you haven't, be sure and get the book and get the special, because this is going to be incredibly important to you. Also, don't forget to be with us for World Changer Weekend. Check out the magazine this month. It's going to give you the World Changer Weekend date. And if you're wanting to get trained as a heart physics coach, we'll be giving you some information in the magazine this month about the time, the place, and all everything that's involved in becoming a heart physics coach. Bless you, bless you, bless you, and bless the world around you.